When I was in college, a group of us went out on a dark, foggy night into a cornfield that had already been harvested, so it was just corn stalks. And we spread out and pulled those corn stalks up and started chucking them at each other. It was scary, because you couldn't see anything until it was right about here. And it was also a little hard to figure out where you're going to throw it. So all of a sudden, something like right here is coming at me, and I'm trying to get out of the way, get hit in the face with a dirt clump and then corn stalk. But here's the thing. If we had done that during the day, we'd have a lot more confidence, because we could see. We could see it coming. We could see what we're aiming at. It might not have been as fun, and I know I'm weird, but we'd have more confidence. Spiritually speaking, the more you can see, the more confidence you have. Please bow with me. God in heaven, Lord and Savior, thank you so much for this day. Lord, we are blessed. We are blessed to be in this relationship with you, that our eyes can be open, seeing spiritual things, to see you as our Father, your Son as our brother and Savior, the Holy Spirit as our guide into all truth. Thank you, Almighty God. Lord, I pray that you'll be with me at this time, that I'll speak from your word to your glory. May you be glorified, Almighty God. Thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This morning we're going to be looking at John chapter 9, verses 24 through 34. John chapter 9, verses 24 through 34. There is an irony that is taking place in this passage. Those who believe that they are spiritually well or able to see are actually blind. And this man that was born blind, who had been healed by Jesus, his eyes are becoming more and more open to spiritual realities. Verse 24. So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He then answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." Okay, so they called in the parents, and they're trying to pressure the parents into admitting that the man wasn't born blind or that he wasn't their son. And they said, "We don't know who healed him, but we do know this is our son. He was born blind." So they call in the man for a second time. And they start with, "Give God the glory." Now, some have suggested that means instead of Jesus, give God the glory. And that's possible. But I think there's something else going on here, because the wording is so similar to Joshua 7:19. After when they were told to fight against Jericho, God said, "There are some things I want you to place under the ban." That meant there are some things that are dedicated to God.
That's right.
Achan stole some. And when it was discovered that it was Achan that had stole some of these things, Joshua begins by saying, "Give God the glory." Confess. When we confess, we are actually saying, "I messed up, God is right." We are giving God the glory. That's a good way of looking at confession, by the way. Because we're not saying, "Oh man, I guess God's right again." We are glorifying God that He is right. It's a great way to think of confession. The problem is, that doesn't apply to this man. And so they go on and say, "Give God the glory. We know that Jesus is a sinner." And I love a man's response. "Whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know." I don't think, this man doesn't think Jesus is a sinner. He's not going to be dragged into an argument. He says, "Here's what I know. I used to be blind, now I see." I think sometimes we allow ourselves to get dragged into an argument. Here's the reality. Most of the time, we are not going to be convinced. We are not going to convince people of who Jesus is by arguing them into truth. Most of the time, what's going to convince them is if we're able to sit down with them and say, "This is what Jesus means to me." Marcus Barth tells a story. I don't know if it's true or not. It sounds a little bit made up, but I like the story. There was this guy a long time ago. He worked on the docks, and he was an alcoholic. Now, he didn't beat his family, but he also always spent his money on alcohol. So the mother was left with trying to figure out what she's going to do with no money. Okay, so she's a Christian lady. She's praying all the time. She's talking to him about Jesus and all of that. And finally, he starts to listen. And over time, he becomes a Christian. And the people on the docks, they begin to notice there is something different about this guy. And they begin to make fun of him. And one guy says, look, you can't believe those miracles in the Bible. I mean, do you really believe that Jesus turned water into wine? And the man said, well, I don't know about that, but in my house, he turned beer into furniture. Right?
That's right.
See, sometimes we need to stop getting pulled into the argument and trying to convince people that we know so much about the Bible. And we need to sit down and say, this is what Jesus means to me.
Amen.
This is what he's done in my life. See, I am not a science person. And when the kids out at the Youth Correction Center are trying to tell me that, we know, evolution's been proven in the first place, you're going to have to define proven to me. I'm not going to argue that. I'm going to say, I believe that there is a God because I know what's going on in the inside of me. I cannot prove it to you scientifically, but I can tell you there is a God and he is at work inside of me. And it makes all the difference in the world. Verse 26. So they said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you? So notice what they're doing. They mentioned that Jesus is a sinner. Now they want to prove it. They're not letting go of the argument. Because if they get here again, Jesus healed his eyes by spitting on the ground, making mud on the Sabbath, they can say, see, he's a sinner. He broke Sabbath. Now, technically, he didn't. But their rules about the rules, he was a lawbreaker. And they wanted to prove it. But again, he doesn't get drawn into the argument. I wish more Christians would understand that when they got onto Facebook. Don't get drawn into the argument. It does no good. There might be a time and place for it, and there is. Facebook's not it. He simply says, I'm not going to tell you again. I've already told you. And then he uses sarcasm. Often in writing, it's hard to tell whether it's sarcastic or not. Here, you can tell. It's glaring. You don't need a sign to tell you this is sarcasm. Sheldon could understand this is sarcasm. Get that reference? Okay. He's saying, well, you know, what, you want to become one of his disciples also? Is that what's going on here? You want to hear it again so you can be convinced that he is really the Messiah? Okay, so they respond to that. Verse 28. They reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as far as this man, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, well, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does what his will, he will hear him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us? So they put him out. They reviled him. They spoke evil against him. We don't know what they said. But they ended up with, you're his disciple. We're the disciples of Moses, the lawgiver. we're his disciples because we know that Moses spoke to God. Moses was so close to God and spoke to God in a way that his face would actually glow afterwards. We know that Moses spoke with God. We don't even know where Jesus is from. Which is interesting, because in chapter 3, they said, we know where Jesus is from, therefore he cannot be the disciple, the Messiah. Here's what's going on. There were all kinds of theories about the Messiah floating around. One was, okay, we might know where he's born after the fact. We know where he's supposed to come from, but we're not going to know who the Messiah is until he just appears like out of nowhere. But there was also the idea that he's going to be born in the city of David. I mean, remember when Herod wanted to kill him and he asked the people, where is this going to take place? And they knew. And so they're like, we don't even know where he's from. And again, I just love this man's response. He is talking to the Jewish leaders. And he doesn't get caught up in their arguments, and he responds so well.
Right.
He says, well, isn't that a remarkable thing? He opened my eyes, and you don't know where he's from. You get what he's doing?
True.
Instead of investigating me, you should be investigating him. He opened my eyes. Something that's never even been heard of with somebody who's born blind. And you don't even know where he's from. You're not taking the time to investigate him. And that happens today, doesn't it?
That's right.
You know, people are like, you know, they hear that you're a Christian and they want to attack you and they want to talk about you and you're like, man, no, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. Taste God and see that he is good.
Amen.
That's our response. We want you to know Jesus. Years ago there was this guy and he was on the news. It was years ago. He said that they should take the Bible out of public school libraries. You know what his reason was? Because the God of the Bible encourages child sacrifices. You know where he got that? Okay, so under the old law, the firstborn was dedicated to God. He never asked him to sacrifice the firstborn. Okay, with Abraham, probably that story too. He only read enough to find ammunition. He didn't go to Joshua where God says to his people, you sacrificed your babies, something that I never imagined you would do. God, all-knowing, creator of all things, said, you guys are blowing my mind. Why would you sacrifice your babies? See, we know people like that today too, don't they? They go to the Bible because they want to find ammunition. They don't really get to know God. What we want them to do is to investigate God. Investigate Jesus. See, taste, know him, and know that he is good. So when they notice, they look at your life and they notice that there's something different. There's something different about you. You handle yourself differently. You pray for your enemies. You love your enemies. That's different than the world. And they notice that and they're like, man, what's different than you? You know, don't take that opportunity to say, well, you know what? I got it all figured out. Tell them about Jesus Christ. We don't want them to investigate us. We want them to investigate Jesus. Now, if they are seeing something in us, that's wonderful and that's great and praise God. But we want them to investigate Jesus Christ. He goes on and says something that gets pulled out a little bit. He says, we know. My Bible turned pages on me. I was way confused. We know that God does not listen to sinners. I've heard people say that as if this was what God said. Okay? Oh God, he doesn't listen to those sinners. Really? Cornelius? Okay, he was called a God-fearer, but he wasn't saved yet. God heard him. I want you to picture, I have a friend that spent his whole life struggling with drugs and alcohol. He died in a crack house in Denver, Colorado. I want you to picture him there, crying out to God. Do you think God's going to be up in heaven and say, I can't hear you, la 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 la, I can't hear you? I don't believe so. Every time people cry out to God, God hears their cry.
That's right.
What this man is saying is that we, as Jewish people, we believe this to be true. Because the Jewish people, they didn't think God liked sinners. Because they didn't like sinners. If a Pharisee saw a sinner walking down the street, you know, somebody who was a known sinner, because we're all sinners. If they saw somebody that was a known sinner, they would walk on the other side of the street. And so then, since that's how they were, they assumed that's how God is. And we do that to God, don't we? Man, I don't like those people, so God must not. I don't want to hear them, so God's not going to hear them. Oh, God hears sinners. He is saying an accepted belief of theirs that flies in the face of what they're saying about Jesus Christ. If God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners like they believe, then how was it that he opened my eyes? How could have he done it? Since this man was not from God, he could do nothing. See, the Jewish people understood that there were people out there that were faking. That happened. But when there was a genuine miracle of God, they believed that that miracle came from God. I think we probably should believe that as well. If this man was not from God, how do you think my eyes were opened? And then notice what they say. You were born a sinner. Did you catch what they just did? They are admitting that this man was born blind. That's what they mean by you're born a sinner. Something they wanted to deny, but in their frustration, because here they are, the religious leaders of the day, and here's this guy that is uneducated. He cannot read or write. He's been born blind. In that culture, you do not learn how to read and write when you're born blind. He's uneducated. He's just one of the people, the rabble. And they can't deal with him. They can't pull him into the argument. They can't prove him wrong. And so in their frustration, they said, oh, you were born in your sins. Which proves the point that Jesus is the Messiah. You presume to teach us. And again, we've got this syndrome. They believe they're the experts, so they're not going to learn from this lowly man born in his sins. I believe that there are messages of God all around us. And sometimes they come from people who do not believe in him. Can we learn? Can we grow? I volunteered to go down to Katrina, after Katrina, to work in New Orleans, for Red Cross. And there was this couple there that were not Christians, did not believe in God. I learned from them. I saw how they dealt with each other. The guy, he was over the whole yard. So basically telling people what to do. And he did a great job of seeing people's strengths. He came up to me and said, there's this lady here. When she gets her clothes washed, she pays them so small. Which, by, when they told us when we first got there, be generous. We're trying to reestablish the economy. But she's only giving them a little bit. And he said, I want you to talk to her, because if I did it, I'd crush her. I want you to do it. And I learned, if you're going to be a leader, you need to respect people's strengths and weaknesses, including your own. Okay? We can learn. God gives us messages from all around us. These people were saying, hey, we're the religious leaders. You're just a lowly sinner. We can't learn from you. Don't presume to teach us. And isn't that sad? Because of that attitude, they missed Jesus Christ. They kicked the man out of the synagogue. I think there's two things going on. Number one, they made him leave the building, but they kicked him out of the synagogue. And that means, again, we talked about this last week, that means that he cannot go to the synagogue or the temple. People are not supposed to trade with him. They're not supposed to sell him anything. They're not supposed to buy from him. Although he's a blind man, he's not in business right now anyway. They're supposed to have no contact with him at all. This man has some confidences, but like we talked about in Bible class today, even when you take a stand for Jesus, there are consequences. You might have to go through some things, and you might have to be shut off from the people that you thought were your people. This man who was born blind, could not read or write, was probably going to spend the rest of his life, unless his parents were taking care of him, just begging. That was his only option. And now all of a sudden he can see. And we've seen through this that his eyes become more and more open, and he sees more and more clearly, and we see him standing up to the religious leaders of the day with such a confidence. That's what I want for you. I want you to have the confidence when God is opening your eyes and people are saying, hey, what about this? What about this? You can say, look, I'm not sure about this, but here's what Jesus is doing in my life. Can I tell you about what God is doing? We want them to investigate God. Get to know Jesus. And there's something here that's just amazing to see. And I've seen it in other people as well. The more they get to know Jesus, the more confidence they have. Because Jesus is their rock. Jesus is their foundation. And it's an amazing thing to watch. I've seen people going from abusers to gentle spirits. I've seen people being users, growing into givers. He turns the blind and opens their eyes and makes them see. He is still doing that today.
That's right.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
He is still doing that today. Praise God. If there's anyone